The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
YCR Golden Valley.
We think that listening with our app is a great investment of your time.
Download it free today.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Correspondent Karen Chambis reports on a new sea route for aid delivery to Gaza.
A ship delivering 2,000 tons of food and water and humanitarian supplies has arrived in Gaza. It's the first shipment of desperately needed aid to the besieged Palestinians in Gaza via a new sea route from Cyprus. The sea route is intended to bring more assistance to alleviate the worsening humanitarian crisis in the enclave. The food on the ship was sent by Charity World Central Kitchen and was transported by the Spanish aid group Open Arms. The ship left Cyprus on Tuesday. Israel's military confirmed the delivery. I'm Karen Chamas.
Also at SRNnews.com, correspondent Ed Donahue reports a prosecutor is out in Donald Trump's Georgia criminal case. That's because of a sexual relationship with the primary prosecutor. This is SRN News.
All of us love sports. But not all sports are created equal. College sports have big budgets, dedicated alumni networks, and corporate sponsorships. Professional sports have even deeper pockets. Millionaire owners, lucrative TV and radio deals, and merchandise sales. High school sports have you. Everyone agrees high school sports give us plenty of reasons to cheer. And now's a great time for us to give back. Supporting your hometown high school won't cost you much, but it will go a long way to ensuring the games we love the most are here to stay. Minnesota high school sports. They're good for our kids, good for our community, and best of all, they're good for you.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there is no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
No!
Come on, rise and shine. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? It's going to be a great year.
Turn all the lights on and kill the noise. The Biz 1440 presents the best 2 hours of economic news and commentary.
Is it safe?
It's the King Banyan Show.
This is a man.
Your source for penetrating economic insight, razor-sharp analysis, and unflinching universal thought.
My mind is aglow with whirling, transient nodes of thought.
Everything you need to maintain clarity and stay ahead of the economic curve. Now, here's Professor King Banyan.
Welcome back. Second hour, King Banyan Show today here on the Biz 1440, 651-289-4477, the number to call, questions and comments, 651-289-4477. Coming up, of course, on a Federal Reserve meeting this coming week, and the data that came across the wire last week which had to go uncommented upon by Fed officials because they're in their self-imposed quiet period. They do not talk the 10 days before an FOMC meeting by agreement among them all. They don't do media or speeches during that time. That data was a bit confusing and a bit alarming, both of those things being true. So the CPI numbers came out on Tuesday of this past week, and they were a little bit high, where, you know, CPI itself checked in on a monthly basis at 0.4%, core CPI checking in at 0.4%, whereas it was expected to rise by 0.3%. So the core CPI number still running a little bit on the high side, and the administration, the Biden administration, which is very much trying to talk people into inflation's not bad, it's coming down, were out in force on, this week. Jared Bernstein, who's currently the chair of the Council of Economic Advisers, has been probably the longest-serving advisor to President Biden. Indeed, I remember commenting, I think, during the first days of this show, of the business show here, after we left Narn. We didn't really leave Narn after we branched out of Narn. It's like they're the Mary Tyler Moore Show and I'm Rhoda, right? How about that? Okay, and if you laughed at that, that's great because, okay, it also means you're probably a person of a certain age. Spencer probably is like, what's he talking about? I'm just guessing, Spencer, you've never even seen an episode of Rhoda. But anyway, in the very early days, I remember commenting on the fact that a vice president had an economic advisor. From the very beginning of the Obama administration, 2009, Joe Biden brought an advisor with him, which I had never seen before. And that advisor was Jared Bernstein. And so he was out in front of the White House earlier this week. And I should look to see what day that was. I think I have it here. On Thursday, he was on Bloomberg after the producer price index. I'll give you both sets of numbers here in a moment. But he was out on the lawn commenting and talking about what had transpired in the price data. And this is a masterclass in spin. I'm sorry. This will sound partisan of me, but it's like there was part of me that was like, come on, dude. That's not even in a neighborhood of right. Let's try this. Cut number 10.
Well, if you look at most forecasts, in fact, I'm having trouble thinking of one that doesn't go in this direction. They all show that the trend is still our friend. But as Daniel was saying, sometimes that road can be a little bumpy month to month. There were potentially some anomalous factors in January and February. But even there, we saw, for example, with the PPI year over year, that's a 1.6% read. Go back a year, that number was over 5%. Go back to 22, it was 10%. So over the longer term, we have a clear deceleration, and we believe that the structure is in place for that to continue.
Remember, I think one of the things that the administration would like is a confirmation that inflation's under control, and you would not get a better confirmation, I believe, than having the Federal Reserve come out and say, we think it's time for some cuts. That's what they would like. I'm going to talk more about that here in a little bit. Because I want to talk about, and I did talk about this a few weeks ago, in a show that I did back in February, about what's the right way to think about where the Fed's head is at right now as we get ready for their meeting Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. The White House is clearly saying, we would love to see you cut. You don't really need to worry about inflation. Inflation is fine. One blog that I read, because he's different than me right now, is Scott Granis, who blogs at Calafia Beach Pundit on an old Blogspot template. Okay, I love this site, if for no other reason that it is so 2000s. It's so the oddies that you can't even believe it. The producer price index really has only gone, which we talked about, sideways pretty much over the last year. We expected it to be PPI year over year to be at 1%. It actually is now at 1.6%. That number was much higher than expected. Core PPI year over year, 2.7 was the expected number. It's at 2.8. In other words, all of the information that we thought was going to be out there is actually come in a little bit less than we than. It's actually come in just a little bit worse than expected. And so I am quite underwhelmed, I say, by people who have been saying that the inflation data is not really signaling anything other than rates should be coming down. Let me play some little more. This is Jared Bernstein, chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, on Thursday, cut number 11.
And there, if you look at the core, once again, I see forecasts, including the Fed's own, which is probably the most germane, that reinforce the comments I was making earlier on a steady glide path down to numbers that are closer to their target.
Right. And closer, that stuff, the steady glide path, right? The markets are, in fact, signaling what Bernstein is saying. What they're signaling is, we have an inflation, okay, is for lower rates. We can see that in a couple places. First of all, the 2-year Treasury yield is well below the Fed funds rate. So the Fed funds rate's at 5.5%. The 2-year Treasury's at about 4.5%. So typically those numbers are fairly close to each other. So that would put us in the range of the 3 to 4 rate cuts within a year that are expected. Okay, that's about where you would think that would be. So somewhere in the near term. But this past week, and I didn't find the vocal for this, so I'm just reading. This was Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of JP Morgan, who was out last week on Wednesday saying, look, if I were them, I would wait. You can always cut it quickly and dramatically. Their credibility is a little bit at stake. I would even wait past June and let it all sort out. You've even had people saying they don't need to cut it all this year. So it's no longer just folks like Rogoff, who we heard in the Ken Rogoff we heard in the last hour, or Larry Summers, who are saying, you know what, the neutral rate is going to be is actually much higher than it was before, and so if you start to cut rates, you could actually re-stimulate inflation with too many cuts. This was a quote from Larry Summers. When the Fed compares 5% with a 2.5% neutral rate it sees, and people say that monetary policy is substantially restrictive, that's wrong. The neutral rate is much higher than the neutral rates are, closer to having a 4 handle than they are to a 2 handle. Summers, and I agree with this, and I actually cited to you a piece that I'm going to talk about in the next segment.
I believe the Fed wants to be perceived as being close to neutral. And this may be because being closer to neutral protects them from criticism by particularly those who would support the re-election of President Biden. That tight monetary policy risks a recession, raising unemployment rates, but it also feeds into the perception that inflation is too high. If inflation is, okay, if inflation wasn't higher than it should be, the Fed would have cut rates, but it hasn't, so it must be the case that inflation's too high. Right. It feeds into that perception, and I think that is driving a lot of the critique of the Fed that you will hear turned up to 11 on the Spinal Tap amplifier on Wednesday after the Fed meeting, where they will certainly not cut rates. And my expectation to be that the signal will be, we're not ready to do that yet. And I expect Jay Powell to hint that they don't think they're going to do it at the next meeting either, that there's still a little way to go. I still think there's going to be conversation about quantitative tightening, and that's actually the thing I'm looking forward to. But let's work through some of the other pieces that are happening right now. Coming up right after this, you're listening to the King Banyan Show on the Biz 1440.
The Ramsey Show.
Xavier, do your friends pay your bills?
No.
Then their opinion and your personal finances don't matter.
I think your friend loves you. I just think he's stupid about money.
Weekdays from 1 to 4 p.m. live on the Biz 1440.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-846-2124. 800-846-2124. 800-846-2124. That's 800-846-2124.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older. But it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her relief factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800, the number 4, relief, relieffactor.com.
Do you want to make a difference in your community? Volunteer with your local fire department. Operational and non-operational positions are available, and training is provided. Anyone can be a volunteer. You just need the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. When your community needs you, will you be there to answer the call? Learn more about volunteering at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
With the vast majority of media today leaning hard left, it can be tricky to find news that actually shares, let alone defends, a conservative viewpoint. HotAir.com provides analysis and commentary from conservative writers like Ed Morrissey. HotAir.com.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. Thank you so much for listening today. I always want to make sure I say thank you. It is an honor that you choose to spend time with us on a Saturday morning, or listening to us on the podcast on TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com, or however it is you find us. You got lots of things you can do. There's so many options out there, and I feel privileged to have your time today and every day. 651-289-4477 if you'd like to contribute to the show this morning. 651-289-4477. And so I want to turn now to sort of a little bit more of how people reacted to the inflation news of this week. And I typically play the guests, the experts. I don't typically play the hosts. But this one kind of caught my ear. Mike Santoli, who's one of the hosts of Squawk Box on CNBC, had this very interesting take of the producer price index data that came out. This is cut number 18.
The core services, stubbornly, firm inflation readings there do not necessarily translate into the PCI is going to go the same direction. So that's part of the mix. We are also kind of geared for shelter being stubborn. And I do think even, you didn't see that uptick like we saw in January.
So I thought this was interesting. I'm going to play it a second time. So Spencer, rewind, I guess you don't have to rewind anymore. I still live in a world of tapes, but if you listen to this carefully, what he's saying is, look, the PPI, the producer price index, yeah, it was a bad number. It doesn't matter because the stuff that went up in PPI will not be in the producer in the personal consumption expenditure index that we know the Fed looks at, except the Fed won't have that information when it meets Tuesday and Wednesday. That number won't be out for another 10 days. So it won't be in the data. And we still have, for how long are we going to have this conversation about, well, shelter is overstated. Shelter is overstated. Shelter is overstated. Okay. It is truly part of this waiting for Godot forecasting behavior that you see happening out there. And I'm just completely flummoxed by why we think this is true. One of the people that it was true. So, we got the PPI data. Let me run through all the data of the week right here to be sure that we've gotten all of what we're looking for here. So the other data that came out this week, so CPI, again, a little hotter than expected. PPI, a little hotter than expected. People still hand-waving. Not just Jared Bernstein, but even the talking heads on CNBC and Bloomberg, like, yeah, inflation's high, but don't worry, right? And if you're a person who is right of center and you hear that sort of thing, you're going to tend to think you're going to hear something dissonant to what you believe, and your reaction to that dissonance is that maybe they're not telling me the full story. And the fact of the matter is, they're not really, because if the shoes were on the other feet, if the current president was of the other party, would the reporting be different? Possibly so. So that was the reaction on the inflation data, which is the thing to which I think everybody's reacting. But there was other data this week that I thought was very important that we look at. One of them being the retail sales data. The retail sales data that came out this week, which grew fast. The headline number that was out there was that number grew rapidly. Spending at retail stores, restaurants, and online was still pretty solid. The top line number was up 0.6% for a month, okay, which is the fastest rate of growth in 6 months.
But remember, first of all, it's not corrected for inflation. And we saw that there were areas of softness. And if you look at the control group, you do the retail sales data, there's a lot of variability that happens looking at food services like Don's Wendy's bill, gas, automobiles, building materials. The reason they take those pieces of data out is not because they don't count, but because if you're actually going to try to forecast GDP for the first quarter, the measure that leaves those out is a better predictor of consumption in the GDP data and the personal consumption expenditure number. It's a better predictor than using the overall number, right? Doesn't mean it doesn't count. It's just a matter of what's my best forecasting tool? What's the best indicator I have of what some number in the future is going to be? This is how I teach it to my students when I teach forecasting. And I'll mention to you, I haven't taught forecasting in a decade. But when I do teach it to them, and I don't spend a whole lot of time on fancy econometric techniques, I try to talk them through, here's the philosophy of how you do a forecast. Here are some very simple tools you can do to sort of scratch out something on a sheet of paper rather than using R or Python or some other statistical program. I can train all the people I want on those programs, but if I'm actually going to make you effective as a student, as a future employee to someone who's supposed to know something about forecasting, it's not about how to do the forecast, it's how to read one that somebody else did. Because chances are, unless you go forward to get a doctorate, you're not going to be the person that does that. You're going to be the person that's reading and going, what am I looking at? What is this? And my goal is to help you figure that part out. Right? And so part of what I teach people is, and I think it applies here, is if I dig inside that data to say, I want to look at this subset of retail sales, it's not saying that the other stuff doesn't count. It's saying this subset is a better way for me to filter the noise out of the retail sales data so I can figure out what's actually happening in the broader economy, because retail sales is only a portion of personal consumption. There's a whole lot of stuff in personal consumption that's not in the retail sales data. So I'm using a proxy to figure out what's going on in a bigger number. And to do that, I have to find the right proxy. And that's what that control group is. That number was unchanged in February data. The retail sales data was like, oh, look, strongest in 6 months. Yeah, but that is more likely noise. Not because it's what I want to believe or not want to believe, but I'll say historically, this control group measure of retail sales, leaving out food, gas, autos, building materials, is a better forecaster of GDP in a personal consumption than the overall number. And that number was flat as a pancake in the last month. Okay? So it might grow because of that labor market effect. It might grow because people feel wealthier because of the stock market. It might. But if you believe what I've been saying about that increase in uncertainty that's going to happen in 24 as we get closer to the presidential election, I think the next move is to pull back on consumption. I think more and more people are like, well, wait. Can I just tap the brakes on this for 6 months and see what happens in November? And then I'll figure out what to do next. I think that's more likely the behavior we see in the months to come. So that retail sales number came up, and that's out there. We got the PPI number, and then yesterday we got industrial production data as well, and the industrial production statistics. Yeah, on a short-term basis, they're up a little bit, But if you really dig in inside that data, what you see is that it's just a rebound from a weak January number. On the East Coast, January was miserable in terms of weather and therefore for construction and for manufacturing, which is what industrial production is measuring. You got a number that was up 0.8% in February. That's true. But if I dig in on the long-term piece, it really has been pretty flat for a while. And so prices a little bit higher than expected, recovery in retail sales data, recovery, flat retail sales in the control group, recovery in industrial production, add them up. And I think the Fed walks into its meeting Tuesday with a forecast for GDP for the first quarter to be reported the week after their meeting. That's likely to, in April, but before their next meeting, that's likely to report out at a growth rate around 1.5 to 2%. Not strong, not weak. So what's going to happen next? Well, this is the interesting question that's coming in. I want to play a little exchange that happened and a callback to something that I talked about with you about 3 weeks ago. We'll talk about those things right after this. This is the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Looking for a new way to give back to your community, learn new skills, and make a real difference? Consider volunteering with your local fire department. The majority of U.S. firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers, answering the call when their community needs them. Be part of a dedicated team of volunteers who step up and protect their community from all types of hazards. You can be the difference. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Aside from helping your community and being there for those in need, being a member of the Volunteer Fire Service provides many benefits, including an opportunity to learn new skills and join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Your community needs you. Will you answer the call? Learn more and find a local volunteer opportunity at makemeafirefighter.org. That's makemeafirefighter.org.
Arby's Computer Service.
You and your business are online today more than ever. Most people are working from home and meeting via internet, and that means IT structures are overtaxed and Wi-Fi is humming. An outage in one of your critical systems now could be a fatal blow to your operation. Arby's Computer Service is ready and able to help. Their staff is standing by and prepared to offer assistance. If your business IT system experiences a failure, give Arby's a call. Their professional team of certified computer and networking specialists is experienced in diagnosing
diagnosing and solving a wide range of issues. With Arby's computer service on the job, you'll never have to worry about dealing with IT-related issues on your own. Whether it's for your personal system or business, Arby's computer service knows that internet traffic is surging, and they're available now to help. You'll always get competitive pricing, trustworthy advice, and excellent customer service from Randy and his team at Arby's Computer Service.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dog surprise.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, the Biz 1440. One last point I want to make about the retail sales data before I turn to this was there were some very odd revisions to that data that had happened before. I'm quoted in a story on KNSI that I tweeted to using the hashtag #KBRS, KNSI being a radio station up here in the St. Cloud area. They have a reporter that used to work in finance that likes to call me from time to time when he sees something come over. He's clearly watching either Market Watch or Bloomberg or something like that. Because when something abnormal comes over that, I get a phone call. What I said to them at this was restaurants and bars in January, we were told in the retail sales data that they were up, those restaurants and bar data was up 0.7%. That number got revised down to a -1% in the February data. Not the print for February, but the print, the revision to the January data published this week turned something that was a positive 0.7 into a negative 1.0. That's a pretty big revision, don't you think? And that really did cause some consternation among some folks here. And I thought, I do believe that, when my spouse even notices, man, the price of my meal at, we typically like fast casual places like a Panera. And even there, it's not just the fast food places, even the fast casual places, it just feels like prices are going up. It feels like, I think Panera just announced they're revising their menu and removing some items. The people who typically show up there in the evening, we typically go there at dinner time because it's sort of like, we just need to run in and get some food. We've been out shopping I was working late and people are hungry. And my wife's hungry and she's like, I don't feel like cooking tonight. And I say, I don't feel like cooking tonight. That doesn't happen too often, but once in a while, neither of us want to cook and we're like, we'll duck out to one of the many places up and down Division Street here in the fast casual category. It's not just that they're raising the price, but they're actually taking items off the menu that people are not buying. So I mentioned the Panera thing because I think this is true, and I'm thinking about Don's Wendy's story, in that what Panera did was it took a number of items off the menu that largely are dinnertime items. Observation. Every time I'm in there at dinner, there are two groups of at dinner time, there are two groups of people. Teens and seniors. There's pretty much nobody between the ages of 25 and 55 in there. They're either under 25, they're high school and college students, or they are seniors, okay? With the exception of my daughter, who's over age 25, goes with my mom, with my wife, whenever our daughter's here in town. And she sticks out like a sore thumb because she's not in the age category that's there at dinner time. So I do think there's that. I do think that there is something happening there in the marketplace. It's a little bit different. It's a version of what President Biden refers to in shrinkflation. It's not you know, which is A, been around forever, and B, is just part of a behavior of businesses to try to figure out how to find the right mix and the right quantities of products. I want to play this piece for you before I got to go. Peter Buchvar from Bleakey Management, he's a consultant. His book report is not a cheap product, but worth the few hundred dollars for an annual subscription that he asks. It's now out on Substack. Consider it recommended. He was on CNBC this week discussing some of the data regarding inflation and so forth on Friday. He was on with Steve Fleisman, and he had this to say. Let's play this first. I believe this is cut 13.
Well, it's complicating their decision-making. I mean, Powell, based on his testimony just last week, seems to want to cut, but he wants to do it slowly and carefully, as he said. I think if you will focus on the employment side, they see the unemployment rate about at a two-year high. But on the other hand, inflation that's remaining sticky.
So caught in betwixt and between. Yes, it's at a two-year high, but it's still below 4%. And I do think the Fed actually has not just looking at a line graph. It's also got in its head certain benchmarks. I don't think the Fed believes 3.9% is anything other than right around full employment. And the fact that you had more than full employment perhaps 6-12 months ago, I don't think matters to the Fed. 3.9% unemployment is a feature, not a flaw. That's actually okay with them. I think only when you get to a number that's over 4.5 will they react to it. For the same reason, I believe they are thinking hard about whether or not to cut rates based not on where the rate is right now, but where they think their neutral rate, that R star, is right now. And I think that R star number is actually, is the argument where you've got people like Rogoff and Summers and some other folks saying R star is higher than other people are saying. And so let me continue this. And I believe this is the cut where I have Steve Fleisman, who was in, it was part of the interview with this comment. This should be cut 14.
I think the one flaw in Powell's thinking is he said, we don't need to wait until inflation gets back to 2 to start cutting. But if there's a lesson to be learned from the 70s, is getting inflation down into the 2 range is one thing. Keeping it there is another. So just imagine they start cutting before they get to 2, and then inflation heads right back up again. Then he's stuck. And the Fed has trained us to think that they only go one way. They're either cutting or they're hiking, and there's no dynamism in between.
And that's an interesting point, because here Buchvar is saying, is the model the 1970s? Because in the 70s, we developed this term called stop-go policy. And stop-go policy was, we're gonna cut rates, we're gonna be expansionary. Then all of a sudden, inflation pops up a little bit, and it's like, whoa, wait, stop. And so they would flip back and forth. And stop-go policy got this very bad reputation. Shoot, I probably wrote a paper or two about stop-go policy when I was a young economist back in the 80s, and certainly made commentary about stop-go as being a bad strategy for monetary policy. That mindset, that model, mental model of how to do monetary policy is still there. And so he's arguing that it's the 1970s that might be the lesson to take. I think this next cut might be the Fleisman cut. I think I had him out of, I think I just wrote my cut sheet out of order. Let's try this. This is cut 15.
1995 analog, which might be more along the line. And I bring that up because Jefferson brought it up, because at the same time, there was also a productivity surge around then.
And the Jefferson that he's referring to, that Fleisman is referring to there, is Philip Jefferson, who's currently the vice chair of the Federal Reserve. And we actually played this. This was a speech he gave in February, and we played it back on the show on the last show we did in February. And I'm just going to repeat it for you again. This, okay, so we just re-recorded this. This is cut number 12.
Finally, another observation from reviewing past episodes is that careful easing in the July 1995 easing cycle allowed the FOMC to assess incoming data and other information to make sure that inflation was under control. As I noted earlier, the July 1995 easing cycle is associated with the so-called perfect soft landing. In this particular easing cycle, the FOMC started to ease as it observed a lessening in inflation concerns, left rates unchanged for three meetings as it waited for more information, and then continued to ease.
A lot of people heard that, and apparently Leisman heard that, and I'm anticipating it. I'm anticipating that Leisman will ask a question at the FOMC meeting on Wednesday, and I'm going to bet you Panera money. I'll buy you a dinner at Panera if it turns out that he doesn't do this. He's going to mention the Jefferson speech on Wednesday. He tipped his hand. Okay, so is this the 1970s where stop go gets you in big trouble? Or is this the 1990s model where the Fed did? It cut rates one time and then waited three meetings. So if you do the math, say you cut in May and then you wait through June, July, September, that means the next rate cut that comes after that wouldn't be till the next to last meeting of the year, which is early November. That's kind of what the signal is, for at least that's the thinking that Jefferson has. And so that moved me to think at least that Jefferson is on his next dot plot, which will be published on Wednesday, going to say is going to have two cuts by the end of 2024. And that's the real question for this coming meeting. Will they actually change the dot plot from three cuts, which is the number they published back in January? Will they have three cuts? Will they have more than three, or will they have less than three? And what I heard Jefferson say 3 weeks ago was he's thinking more like maybe two. And I think that's interesting because nobody would perceive Jefferson as being a particular inflation hawk. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on The Biz 1440.
Whether enjoying beauty outdoors or from a room with a view and a fireplace, it's easy to create winter magic in Minnesota. Spend the day trekking through the freshly fallen snow or get in your steps while enjoying some of the best shopping in the country. Either way, Minnesota's food scene keeps you properly fueled for the winter adventure at hand. Get our free monthly travel newsletter and plan your dream trip at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota Tourism, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older. But it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her Relief Factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800 the number 4, relief, relieffactor.com.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Brighten someone's day with a free e-card from the largest online Christian greeting card site, CrossCards.com. There's one for every occasion, birthdays, holidays, or just to let someone know you care. CrossCards.com is a division of Salem Media Group.
The Ramsey Show.
Right now, my wife and I, we're scared.
Take her hands in your hands and go, okay, we're doing this together, and we are not going to let this take our marriage. And as a matter of fact, it's going to make our marriage stronger. And hold on tight.
Live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4.
Welcome back. Last few minutes of the King Banyan Show today. Thank you for listening. As we are prepping for an FOMC meeting where what they actually do in the statement at 1 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday will not be nearly as important as what the chairman says beginning at 1:30 that time. I'm trying to make sure I can block out that time. I would actually like to watch this one live. I've not had the opportunity in the last two meetings. I am unfortunately pretty involved in a lot of work here at the university that takes up my days. And I think if you're a person who realizes that I am a state employee, I think you'd rather I did my day job rather than watch an FOMC meeting. Anyway, 651-289-4477 if you have a last question or comment. So Steve Leisman from CNBC in this interview from Friday offers this advice to about and contends that 95 is the right model after Peter Buchvar has said, no, actually, it's more like the stop go. The fear is the stop go of the 70s, and that the Fed really only can be a one way bet, and that you can actually speculate against the one way bet, which is something that we had actually researched back in the 80s and 90s. And I think there's something to that point. Buchvar responds to this in this interview. I'm going to go a little bit further in this. This is cut 16.
And I think Powell will want to cut or tweak, call it, as far away from the election as possible. And that's why I think June is very much in play.
The June meeting currently has about a 60% probability of there being a rate cut, and that would be the first one. If you add that to the Philip Jefferson observation of a small cut and watch, that means that you get one rate cut between now and the election. That's it. And I, you know, it will get spun as, oh, inflation must be okay because the Fed's cut rates. I don't know that they really need to, but that's what makes life really interesting. And Buchvar observes that as well. This is cut 17.
But the interesting thing here is that we have inflation expectations 2 years, 5 years out that are at one-year highs, commodity prices that are bubbling again. The disinflation on the good side may be ending, but on the flip side, services inflation should continue to moderate as slower rental growth shows up in the data. But again, I do think that Steve's right. I do think they're going to tweak and really take a pause.
So Buchvar comes around to the idea, maybe it's a one cut, at least until the election, and then maybe another cut
post-election or right, I think the November meeting is right on, right at the, maybe the day after the election, or something to that effect. And so, and I'm sure they'll catch grief over that too. They're not in a great position. Anyway, look, there's two things to watch for on Wednesday. One will be the dot plot. How many rate cuts do they expect? And along with that, what do they think about inflation by the end of the year? What do they think the unemployment rate is going to be by the end of the year? What do they think? And those are the three data points from the dot plot you're going to want to grab. What? How many cuts? I want to know how many people are actually going to say zero cuts. I actually think you might end up with more than you had two the last time in January. Okay. I would take a bet that you'll have three this time, because I think I can name who the three are, even though we won't really know. But because I want to process through all this. Okay. So you'll have that. The other thing you have to pay attention to is what will they say about quantitative tightening? At the last meeting, the chairman said they're beginning to study it. You read the minutes of the meeting, and it emphasized we are looking at how we're going to do this. And will the Fed say anything about the order of operation there? In other words, would they be willing to cut rates at the same time they're still withdrawing from the Treasury market as they are now? Or will they say they come at the same time? Or might they say, we think we'll reduce the level of quantitative tightening before a rate cut? I don't think they'll be very explicit about that, but I would hope that the reporters push the chair on this, because I think that is the key question. You have to look at both those pieces at the same time to understand what happens in financial markets going forward. We will be talking all about that at our next show next week. You won't have a whole lot of data, but my gosh, there's going to be a lot of commentary that's going to come out of this. So watch for the dot plot, watch for the forecast, and then watch for what they say about quantitative tightening. Those are the things that are going to happen. Spencer, thank you so much for your work here today, and we'll be back next week with the King Banyan Show on the Biz 1440.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help heal veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
China is attacking the U.S. patent system, stealing American innovations, and we are helping them do it.
The Chinese Communist Party intends to surpass us and to be the world leader in innovative technology.
Innovation Race, the shocking new movie from the Tea Party Patriots, exposes the truth. China will use our own technology to threaten our economic and military security.
Dominating technology means you dominate the world itself. This is a race that we cannot afford to lose because we're not going to have a country.
If China gains control over 5G technology with a flip of a switch, they could remotely turn off our phones, our cars, even our power grid.
We've lost sight of what it is to protect this nation.
We need to up our game.
In today's high-tech world, there's no prize for second place. Watch Innovation Race. Available now on demand or DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
The Biz 1440.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.